Hello, everybody. This is the Center for Sacred Studies Community Director, and I am excited to be here with you tonight and to listen to the voice of our elder as we navigate these times that we're in together. And I'm sure you've all have seen the flyer that went out and how beautiful as you look on this amazing portrait of yours. And so I just wanted to share a little bit about the membership that we have been circulating out for CSS and the Mothership program. And I want to really give a lot of thanks to so Margine and the design committee about what it is that we're wanting to offer and allow the knowledge that comes and walks with us through our elders, through indigenous nations, through the people that are taking care of the earth right now and talking to Star Nation. This is our sixth offering as we started to answer the call back in December about helping be connected with each one another and each other. And so I just really want to give thanks for all of you here on the call and all of you that are listening in, and give great thanks for you. And thank you for Louisa Tisch for being here tonight, Joe T, and Margine, who is our dynamic technology guru. So thank you, Margine, and for all the work that you have been doing to keep everyone in communication and in the outreach. That's the hat that you've been wearing amongst many others. So thank you, and all that have come together to support us to be here so that we can be here now. And with that moment, I ask that you just ground into your seats. Hopefully you're in a safe place listening to us live, and close your eyes if it's safe and breathe and just take a deep breath. And I just want to say, oh, Holy Mother, Father, all the ways that we know you. I want to give great thanks for this breath of life right now that is connecting us all. Give great thanks for you who brought us here to be here present in this moment in time on this planet, with all the changes that are happening through Mother Earth and her weather and the storms and the fires and the eruptions and all that she is holding and doing, so that we all become in right alignment with this prayer that she put in motion for us to be here. Thank you for the tools and the wisdom of our elders and those who are standing up for you, Mother Earth, for the young ones that have come behind 11, 12 years old and took hold of that mic and are shouting out right now, it is, now is the time. Please reach out and touch each and every one on this planet and allow us to circle our arms, our hearts, and our actions around our next generations so that we can take care of Mother Earth so that her waters still flow clean and her air is good enough for all of us to breathe and prosper and take these breaths together, for the young ones and the old ones to have some food that is healthy for our body and nourishing to our souls, and all of the grandpa fire from the sun that allows us to walk in our passion and be connected in the fire that burns in all of us. Thank you for the sacred four directions and the wisdom that they bring to us today on this call. Thank you for the villages and the communities that have come together so that we can stand here and recognize ourselves and recognize that we are all here in this moment to stand up and look at ourselves and recognize this container that we're holding around Mother Earth, this connection of this huge web of life, and that we are in collaboration with others that have the same prayer at their heart so that we know that we are making a difference. Thank you for these calls that give us the strength and the encouragement to keep on keeping on, as our dear grandmas told us. prayers for those that have recently crossed over in our lives, that we're hearing, those that are watching us from the other side, those that are needing our touch and your healing arms around them as they go through their physical struggles on this earth, their mental, their spiritual ones, so that that brings them right alignment in the, and your gracious hug and your grace, O Holy One. All those things that are living in our hearts right now that are said, that are not said, I ask that you please hear them on this prayer so that we connect with one another in our harmony, in our peace, in the unity that we have walking on this planet. Thank you for our lives that we can be here this way. Please keep us safe. Allow our ears to open wide and our hearts to listen with full attention to what will be happening today on the call. And for that, I give great thanks. I give great thanks. I give great thanks. Aho.
Oh, thank you, Darlene. And yeah. I just want to say, I want to take a moment for all of us to go real still and to wrap our loving prayer around Darlene, because she just fell and she hit her head on the concrete. Mm-hmm. And she just came back from the emergency room so she could be here on the call with you. So she was worried about getting on the call because she's still a little foggy and having trouble catching some words and those kinds of things. So I just want to hold a moment of silence to wrap our love around her so she can feel and that healing, loving energy coming towards her. Thank you. And like Darlene was talking about, this mothership is a new kind of form that the mother has helped us design. And I give great thanks for all those that brought the many different threads together to make that happen. Because the way I hear Darlene talk about it sometimes is we're really excited because we really believe this is an instrument, a sacred instrument that can help all our community, international community, really connect with each other. And see what everybody's doing around the planet. There are so many amazing actions taking place on this planet right now. And I know that's really hard sometimes to remember, because when you turn on the television or you look around, you see a lot of hard things taking place. As the Kogi said, the ending would fall into the beginning. The beginning would roll out in 2026. They said you must pay attention to the ending going down because it will keep you informed, but stay focused on that which is breaking through and into this new age that the mother has, her new story she's about to present to us. So that's what that mothership's about. So if you receive that, jump into it with us so we can combine our efforts in a huge wave of collaboration, because the clock is ticking. The earth is giving us notice that we are out of time. That means out of time in regards to dragging our feet or thinking, oh, I'll do it next year, or I don't have time, or all of these kinds of things that may come up for us as a distraction. But really, we've got to focus together. And that was what instigated these calls to begin with, that we've committed to holding these calls once a month for a year with you, and that was at the request of people contacting us and telling us that it was getting harder to remember about those breakthrough moments in the mix of all this. And so we've tried to set it up so every month there was another instrument, another tool that the divine have given us in order for us to know how to navigate these times, from divine intervention that comes through messages and inspirations and dreams and direct intervention of the divine, to prophecy such as the Eagle Condor prophecy, prophecies out of Japan, prophecies out of the Mayan peoples, and now we're going to hear more about how our African nation has presented a story that helps us navigate these times as well. So I appreciate that all of those that contacted us and said, can we please do this, because it's been very inspirational for me too. And every time I leave one of these calls, I leave fully inspired by our connection and by the teachings that come to us to help us walk these times we're in. And that's when I get to come to a place right now where I get to introduce one of my most favorite people in the whole world. And Louisa Tisch, what can I say about her? I mean, you've read some of the bio that's up online. I'd rather talk from my heart as I make this introduction. And I will tell you that I really came to know her when we were in the Black Forest of Germany and we were dealing with a very difficult scene. And mm-hmm. I watched this beautiful woman get on stage, and she took that energy that wanted to turn people into being angry with each other and causing all kinds of political posturings. And I watched her get on stage with these about 800 people or so and take that energy and ball it up and turn it into gold and put it back out towards them, and everybody's heart popped open and all of this posturing stopped and we became human beings again in that room.
That's right.
And that's when I said, I want to know this woman better. And so I have been walking with her ever since, and I don't know how long that is now, probably over 20 years that
yep.
we've been maybe. Maybe a little longer even,
that we've
been walking this way, and I've been watching her, and we've had our different projects that we've collaborated on and that she's come to help us open, such as the International Council of 13 Indigenous Grandmothers. Tisch was there. She was there doing her magic and bringing her wisdom even then. She's a playwright. She's a ceremonial, traditional woman. She's someone of heart. She's a wise woman that walks in gentle ways. She's an activist, an artist, a spiritual guide. She can wrap her loving arms around you in a storm and make that storm feel like it could bring no harm. She is someone that opens you up to your memory of who you truly are and brings you into an actualized state of authenticity. These are some of the things I know about this woman. Now, I'm saying all this. She's very humble in herself, but she will make you laugh, and she will make you sit down and take a moment to investigate the truth of who you are. Right now, I want to say that I watched the news this morning, Tisch, and they said there's 500 tornadoes that have come
yes.
across this country. That's yes. how strong the energy of the air is right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're right, you're out there in Atlanta, right in the mix of some of that. So thank
mm-hmm.
you for making it on the call tonight, and I want to
mm-hmm.
sit back now. At the end of your talk, probably about 6 o'clock or so, we'll open it up for Mike so people can ask you questions. So
okay.
absorb the wonder and the magic that is just about to stir itself. Thank you, Tisch, for coming.
Ashe. I want to begin by saying Alafia. And when I say Alafia, your response is, Sha alafia ni, alafia, sha alafia ni. What I've said in the Yoruba language is, may you have good health and be at peace with your neighbor. And I always start that way because I would really like for us to take a moment and imagine what it would feel like to be in good health on every level, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and socially. You know, oftentimes we leave that out. But being at peace with your neighbor is a part of our sense of security and connection. And so when we don't have that peace, we as a species are ill. Today, I want to share with you the wonders of my goddess, Oshun, who is the daughter of promise. She is the spring maiden who lives inside of us all. Iyalode Oshun. goddess of the river, daughter of promise, mother of the sweet waters. It is from your throbbing womb that the rhythm of music springs. It is from your bouncing breast that dance is born. We hear your voice in the babbling brook. We see your eyes in the morning star. At sunrise, we behold you. We lie among the wildflowers to inhale the scent of your skin. Your smile sprinkles us with pollen. Teardrops of orchid nectar roll sweetly down your cheeks. We raise our faces to the heavens. Spring rain falls gently upon us. In the cool of evening, in the shade of the new moon, your veiled mirror shines. We see your eyes in the evening star. Then we reach into each other and embrace and make love as a tribute to the silhouette of your greatness. In undulating ripples, you move through our bodies, promising, promising. The blood in our veins turns to moonlight, flowing. Our hearts burst like new flower blossoms. Sweating perfume and honey, we come to you amidst laughter and tears of joy. You are the beauty that makes life worth living. You are the power that renews. You are the passion to pursue the promise. Love, love, love. This great mystery begins in spring. The seeds that have been laying peacefully in the earth during the winter's dormancy, now they begin to push their way through the casings. Clouds give forth their blessings in the form of rain, and the gentle warm rays of the sun provide quickening, urging barren trees to turn green with baby blossoms. Their fragrance perfumes the air. We inhale this scent and the waters of our bodies begin to bubble. Like newborn babies, we giggle and we preen. We dance within ourselves. Our joy is hard to suppress. We long for recreation. Perhaps it begins with a tune, a little finger popping, head snapping, hip shaking tune. Take a plunge in blue water or a bath in the warmth of a bright yellow sun. Then the spring waters begin to well up in us. We go in search of flowers. We look for a colorful hat. Imagining that a walk in the park is what we're after, we stop at a record shop or run through the local florist. It satisfies the urge, temporarily, but the desire to reach out and touch the hand of another is what we are really after. Love is what we are seeking. Love in all its forms. Love of life, love of the earth, love of self, friend, and mate. Oshun, the daughter of promise, intoxicates us with her honey. We are caught in her web. She pulls us toward the water, the flowers, the warmth of the sun. Our bodies want to press close together, then pull away. We are caught in her tease. She teases us into a game of re-creation. And all of us, plant, animal, and humans respond to the bubbling fertility of Earth, the hunger for birth. My goddess Oshun is the force, the unbridled eroticism of the Earth, the fertility that takes the sunshine and the water and turns it into food and flowers and inspiration for us as humans. We have a situation now where the things that the goddess has given us have not only been devalued so that maybe we don't fully understand the value of her gift and its impact on us, or we've been repressed and told that we should act as if we don't know the value. But worst of all, this quote-unquote civilization has come to a point where we pollute the very gifts that she's given us. And that is particularly dangerous. There is a story in the oral corpus of the Yoruba tradition. The title of it is Oshe Otura. And in Oshe Otura, they say that there was a time when the Most High deity sent several deities down to this planet to set things in motion. And so he sent Ogun, the tool maker. He sent Obatala, who shapes the child in the womb. And he sent Shango, who rules the voice and is masculine energy and social organization. And the way the story goes, along with them, the only woman to come was Oshun. And when they got down to Earth, one of the male deities had the nerve enough to say that they didn't really need her in order to get the work done. They thought they didn't need sweet water. They thought they didn't need sensuality. They thought they didn't need love. And so, being one who will not fight, but make you fight yourself, Oshun decided to go sit on the moon. And she just sat there, powdering her face with stardust. And the longer she sat there, the worse things became on Earth. All the rivers dried up. There was no food. The forest began to fall. There was nothing to build any homes with. There was no way to prepare a place for human life. And when those male deities realized that they couldn't build no houses, they couldn't make no people, they couldn't create no civilization, they went running up to the Most High deity. And they said to him, "Why did you send us down there on that planet if you knew that we couldn't get no work done?" And the Most High looked around and he said, Somebody's missing from this crew that I sent down here, down there. Where is Oshun?" And somebody said, who needs her?" At that point, the Most High called Oshun from her resting place, right? And as she slid down on a beam of moonlight, sweet water followed her, and it watered the earth. and things began to blossom. And the Most High Deity told the male deities, you really have to apologize to Oshun. Do it now. And the Odu, the sacred story says that they apologized to her. And she accepted their apology. But she told them, don't let it happen again. And in order to keep things in balance, and in order to not endure that kind of insult again, she turned herself on herself. And then she gave birth to Elegba, the messenger, who is also a trickster. You know. Now, whenever we perform divination, and the Odu, or the signature of this particular story hits the tray, we take it as very, very serious. And we look around to see what is happening to determine whether or not we have pissed Oshun off. When we see wildfires that are raging and we cannot get enough water to put them out because we've mismanaged the land, when we see trash and dye floating in the river and we no longer have clean water to drink around the world, when we see that the industry is raping the queen bee, when we see a collapse of the bees' habitat, starvation is on the way because they are her servants who keep things pollinated and keep things growing. And worst of all, when we see the sex trafficking of our children, when we see our homes being broken up, when we see us look at each other and wonder, is that person human? Do I need them in my world? Oshun says, if Olodumare put us all down here, we need to recognize each other's gift. And I think that because that story is on the divining tray these days, that Oshun is charging us to look around at the beauty that she has given us, to recognize how precious fresh water is. You know, with all the water on the planet, only 2% of it is fresh water. And 75% of that is caught up in icebergs. So when you draw a glass of water, you're drinking liquid diamonds, actually. And you should see it as that precious. We should not have a situation where anybody, especially any children, anywhere, should be hungry and without water. This is an insult to Oshun. When the river dries up, this is an insult to Oshun. When we waste the food, this is an insult to Oshun. When we look at each other and call each other vile names, when we devalue the gift that each person brings, this angers Oshun, and we are very much afraid of angering this goddess of love. We always want her to shower her blessings upon us. We always want her to shower her blessings upon us. And every spring, she gives us another chance. She gives us another chance to tune into her fertility, to connect with her beauty and to find it within ourselves, to find it in our work, to find it in our relationships, to find it in the environment all around us. So in spring, I really push for people to let her in and to use your creativity to heal the wounding, to heal the isolation, to heal the depression, and most of all, to heal the fear, okay? Now, honestly, if you are in a place where you can step outside your door, let the sun shine on you. Look at the greenery and the flowers around you. Taste the food that you are eating. And know that every human being on the planet needs, wants, and deserves the same thing. You can then commit an act of generosity, which sometimes is money, but most often is giving of your heart, giving of your time, giving of your inspiration. And it is very important to know that she is always with us, that we must never allow her to go sit on the moon away from us. So I've really been pushing. One of the things that I've really been pushing with so much going on these days to divide us, with certain people being declared not human, you know, or we can't interact with them, they are not of any kind of value. I have concern as a writer and as a storyteller of who is directing the drama of our lives. Who is reporting the story of our lives? Who is suppressing the creativity in our lives? And I beg you to not assist them in that oppression. Therefore, I'm asking people to keep journals, to write stories, to recount your dreams, to draw whatever you want to plant when you feel like it, to cook whatever pleases you, to laugh and talk with your neighbors, to introduce yourself to a stranger, to talk to the birds, enjoy the beach, dress yourself in flowers and feathers, and show off the beauty of this goddess. It's often been said that she is the force that makes life worth living. Without her, we become mechanical automatons who just rotely do things. And when we are disconnected from that beauty, it's easier to look at each other as aliens. It is easier to be greedy or stingy. It is easier to rape the earth and upset the balance. Now, one of the things that this story tells us that is very, very important is she said when she came down, she released the water and she renewed, you know, all of creation. But when the apology was made, she accepted it and said, don't let it happen again. Don't let it happen again. So I often say that she is the goddess of second chances, but not of thirds. Okay? So this is a great time to think about offenses that we have committed against the earth and ask for forgiveness. This is a great time for us to take a look at the warped society that we have created and ask for the energy to create something beautiful in its stead. This is the season to bring all that beauty and all that power to bear. You know, the spirit who whispers in my ear said to me that I must say it to you. Some of you who are listening don't understand the value of your life story, the value of your own experience. We are in a time now where we have to have a safe place to share our stories, to share our time, to share our resources, because when we stop doing that, we lose our humanity. And we must not, under any circumstances, lose our humanity. So with the gift of the daughter of promise, promise yourself that you are going to do just one wonderful thing today. Plant a flower, write a poem, cook a beautiful meal, you know, nurture the earth, nurture the people around you, observe the cycles of nature. This is a time to emerge, to increase, to flourish. This is the time to be a little mischievous and a lot of fun. This is the time to plant the seeds, to let sweet water fertilize the plant. This is the time to play with your animals and your humans and be your happiest, most innocent self. By innocence, I mean never mind social conventions or the negative thoughts that others might have of you. This is the time to let yourself be vulnerable to your own creativity, vulnerable to love, vulnerable to the powers of the earth. So, you know, I am well known. I am well known around the world as somebody who loves to give homework. So I'm inviting you, I am inviting you to do the following homework. I would like for you to write or paint or speak. I'm looking for four paragraphs. One paragraph is, what is beautiful about the earth around me? The second paragraph is, what is wonderful about the culture I live in? The third paragraph is, how beautiful and wonderful are the people that I associate with? And then, what is amazing about me? I think that you'll see the connection between those four things, and I invite you to elaborate on that and allow yourself to develop that and share that with each other, because a lot of times, we don't know how wonderful we are ourselves. We don't know how much other people love us. We don't recognize the rich creative culture that we live in. And most important, we have to connect to the beauty of the earth. The beauty of the earth. I want to do a little chant for you, and wherever you are, you can join in it. It's only three words. The first word is Fum. The second word is Ire. The third word is Ida. Fum, Ire, Ida. Fum, Ire, Ida. Uh-huh. And in this sentence, you are asking, we're going to be asking the various deities to send good fortune to the world, okay? And, you know, if you have deities, elders, ancestors who you count on to send us positive energy, when you sing this in the future, you can put their names in it. I'm going to run through the Yoruba deities as we do this. But it sounds like this. Funire da Orisha. Funire da. Try that. Funire da Orisha. Funire da Orisha. Funire da. Yeah, we're just asking them to give good fortune to the world, okay? Funire da Orisha. Funire da. Funire da Elegba. Funire da. Funire da Obatala. Funire da, funire da, Ogun, funire da, funire da, Shango, funire da, funire da, funire da. Ask her for her blessings for the world. Funire da Oshun. Funire da. Funire da Orisha. Funire da. Funire da Orisha. Funire da. Yes, it's a very simple little chant, you know, but you are asking the deity to bring good fortune to the whole world. The echo has stopped. Oh, no, I hear an echo of my voice.
It came after you sang the song.
Well, may that song echo throughout around the planet. Let everybody begin to sing it. You know, ask the trees and the wind and the water to bless everybody. Mm-hmm.
Marjean, can you help with echo?
Sorry?
Can you, help mute the echo?
Echo?
Pretty strong since she did her chanting.
Okay.
If you mute everybody again.
Okay, I mute everybody.
Mute everybody and let's see if that helps.
I go to mute myself too.
Me.
No.
So,
I'll try it again. That's better. We got it.
Okay, so everybody can hear me, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Now we're good.
Okay. Okay. So I'm wondering at this point if people want to ask any questions or share any of their longings or any of their experiences or any of their reservations. Now, people who have done classes with me in the ministry program know that when I give an assignment, I'll hunt you down for several years until I get it. Really, really, because what I found over the years, and I really want people to hear this, all I did just now was gave you permission to let Oshun flow through you and express that outward. You know, in the past, I've flippantly given assignments like that only to find out that 2 years later, somebody's written a powerful essay or done a book or a play came out of it, you know. And I really feel as the priestess of Oshun, it really is my assignment to help to bring out that creativity, that joy, you know. She is one of the biggest mysteries we have in the universe. Sometimes you'll see material that downplays her, like they downplay Aphrodite and other goddesses. But as the power of attraction, I was explaining to the people in New Orleans, were it not for the power of attraction, the particle and the wave would not respond to each other. Molecules would not hold together. Atoms would fall apart, and there would be no cohesiveness in the universe, period. End of story. So, you know, with this assignment, I want people to let innocence speak for them. I'm not telling you to compare what you're writing to nobody else. The purpose of this, and like I said, if you decided that you wanted to lay this out in a garden or draw it or cook a meal that expresses those things, the main thing is for you to find a way to have the creativity that is pulsing through you, especially in spring. You know, let it come out. I go to the grocery store and I see more babies, more 1-year-olds, more 15-month-olds in spring because they come out now. It's safe to bring them out. They're blossoming, they're giggling, and it must be either my face or my voice. But you know, I can be in the grocery store and there's a bunch of babies. They'll all come running to me. You know, sometimes the parents look at me like, who is this crazy woman talking to my child? But maybe because I'm a storyteller, you know, they feel that, and they come over and just giggle and preen. And this is a good time to tune back into our own childlike innocence. You know, this is a time to just let whatever is flowing through you flow through with a new mind, with very little critical judgment on what you are doing. Do I have any questions?
All right. Thank you so much. And I can't wait to hear what that stirred and out to listening to it. So this is when you want to push number one on your phone and raise your hand. The echo is back. And Margene will call upon you. So, Margene, please keep us all muted. until that hand goes up.
Okay.
I will rely on you in hope that the echo will slow itself.
Okay. Kelly Peach, I saw you raised your hand. Can you hear me?
Hi, good evening, everyone. Good to be here. I was really excited about the homework. I didn't have anything to write with, but I wanted to know if you could just repeat the four things that we're going to write about.
Okay. You want me to repeat the content of the four paragraphs?
Okay. Wait just a second, please. Could you please, Martine, do your magic once again? You need to close us all and then open one channel at a time. So I'm afraid people won't be able to understand.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There you
paragraph
go.
Paragraph number one is an expression of the beauty of the earth around you. Wherever you are, take a look at what's growing. Where's the water? Feel the wind and the sun. And just write a paragraph, maybe thanking the earth for giving you all of this, or just describing what there is around you. You know, I have my students perform a ritual where they keep a little bowl of cornmeal by the front door. And when you get up every day, you just pinch a little bit of cornmeal, put a prayer on it, reach it up to the sky, and then let it fall down to the earth, just to recognize that we are here on earth and that that is a blessing. So your first paragraph is, you know, a dedication, a glorification of the earth. Okay. The second paragraph is about the culture that you exist in. Okay. What the talents are, you know. Here is where we give thanks for music and dance and food and gardening and all these things that make life worth living, that require a certain kind of creativity and risk in order to do, you know, in order to design a beautiful garden or paint a beautiful painting, you have to get your EGO out of the way and allow the spirit of creativity to come through you. You know, my art students know that very well, and it's important for people to do that because of the way the culture has monetized our creativity. The third paragraph or the third section is an appreciation of the wonderful people around you, family and friends and coworkers and the neighbors down the street, and take a look at the gifts that they bring and how much your interaction with them enriches your life. You know, I'm one of those people who watches magical realism and science fiction and psychological thrillers and stuff, and there is a consistent theme that comes up of what kind of madness a person suffers when they are isolated away from other human beings. Okay. It is other human beings who help us to know what it is to be human. And the fear that I'm working against now is that we are being coaxed into being less and less human, not seeing each other as human. So one of the ways to heal this, you know, is to take a look at, you know, so every time the question of migrants come up, I give thanks for the people who work the fields in California picking the crops, okay? I give thanks for the babies who make music with their cry. I give thanks for the elders around me who dropped little sentences on me that have lasted me forever, you know. Take a good look at the people around you and the value that they bring, because, you know, last year, my ritual partner of 45 years decided to go to the land of the ancestors. 3 years ago, my mother decided to cross over. And it's not until those people's energy is gone that, even if you appreciated them before, that you feel viscerally how different it is without them. You know, even the person who walks past your house every morning going to the bus stop, they are part of your consciousness. They're part of your experience. And the one that is often very, very difficult for us to do is to turn inward and look at your own value. Look at your own beauty. Look at your own creativity and prepare to give that forth to yourself, to your community, to your culture, and to Mother Earth. Believe me, she appreciates it.
So, any more questions, inspirations, or sharings? Raise your hand.
Brooke, your mic is open.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say thank you, because this was exactly what I needed to hear today.
I went out today and met some new neighbors and took my children. And we went ahead and tilled their yard and picked
beautiful.
Some fruit from their trees.
Beautiful.
And
beautiful.
She gave us some clippings. I'm like in tears because this is just speaking to me.
It's all right.
Just different plants, and really just showered us with love. And, you know, we gave it back to her. And I came home and called the property manager to see if I could put a greenhouse at my house, because I wanted to start a huge vegetable garden. And it's just everything that I've done today has coincided with what you've said, and it really has validated the path that I'm on, and it just feels so good. So thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome. You know, you're reminding me way back in 1980, when I first moved out to Richmond. I moved from the inner city out into the suburbs, and I didn't know anybody, and I'm in my backyard. The lady next door to me was Portuguese. She spoke no English. I spoke no Portuguese. She saw me in the garden, and she came over with like six potatoes, and she chose a spot in my garden and showed me how to grow potatoes. Okay. She never learned English, and I never really learned Portuguese, but the exchange of food, you know, so I introduced her to collard greens. You see what I'm saying? There was an exchange of culture over the power of Mother Earth. Over the power of Mother Earth. It is really, really amazing how, well, it makes sense. We're all on this planet. We're all, you know, subject to the same natural law. We just have to get these artificial separations out of the way. I am so glad to hear that you and your neighbor are creating an earth-centered bond. You know, that bond ain't about money or who got the fanciest dress or none of that superficial shit, okay? It is a real, it is a real earthbound something. So where do you live, baby?
I actually just moved from Virginia to Sonora, California last month.
Uh-huh. I'm going to be in California in July, and I'd be happy to have some of the greens of whatever you're growing in your garden.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm telling you.
I'm going to put a lot of love into it.
Yes, indeed. And you will your landlord let you have your greenhouse?
As long as all of my neighbors agree with it.
Uh-huh.
So,
okay.
If I can't get a greenhouse, I'm going to try to section off an area somewhere. I already have a lot of the plants started. It's just a matter of where can I put them, because things are starting to dry out here and the deer are going to go rampant.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, when I'm in my own space, I do vertical gardening. And there's also this thing called the tower for people who live in apartments, where you can grow all kinds of stuff vertically. One of the things that I do sometimes, do you have a wooden fence?
We have no fence. And I
you have no fence.
In the yard, so I was going to put everything in my driveway, but I'm not sure how to get the fence to stand up around my containers.
Well, if you've got containers and you can get some cement bricks, there's a lot. If you go on YouTube and Google, put in vertical gardens, there's so many ways to do it. That I have people growing all their food on the balcony of a studio. You know, you really can. And it's very, very important, because one of the things that Oshun is upset about is that our food is poison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these days you really do have to grow as much of your own stuff, or be connected to community-supported agriculture, or have connections with the farmers market, because the disregard for the sacredness of food is frightening. It is. I'm glad you and your neighbor are going to be healthy.
Well, thank you for blessing us with this.
You're welcome, baby. You are definitely welcome. Is anybody else?
Not so far.
Okay.
Larissa. This is Josie, and I'm wondering if you could speak to this huge tornado movement that's been happening at this particular time when spring is pushing forward.
Well, you know, this is what worries me. This is what worries me. I have run into a few people who are trying to be climate change deniers, right? Poor folks. But you know, I'll put it to you this way. I remember being in Hawaii after a volcano eruption, you know, and I'm walking on lava that has cooled itself, but I can look down in the cracks and see the fire down there. And I said, oh, my God, If I make one wrong step, I'll be burnt bacon. You know. And as I and as I continued to walk, I saw a coconut sitting on that hard black lava, and it was sprouting. And it made it really clear to me that between me and the coconut, I'm the one who could be lost in this whole thing. Okay. And I think that I hope, number one, that human beings, especially the ones who are in power, will take responsibility for having pissed, in this case, having pissed Oshun and Oya, her sister Oya, the goddess of the wind. Oya rules the tornadoes, and Oshun does the hurricanes, you know. And we've got these twisters going out there. Now, I feel sorry for everybody who has lost their home to a twister, or like we did the firestorm of 91 in California, which was so devastating, and paradise and so on. But I do say we need to do three things. Item number one, we need to be sending up prayers and doing rituals to placate the forces. You know, earth, air, fire, and water are the four sacred things, and spirit is the fifth sacred thing. We really need to engage our spirit and say to Mother Earth that we've learned our lesson, and then we need to back it up with concrete changes. We need to take a look at how much we pollute the water, how much we cover the earth with concrete. We've got to take a look at what part are we playing in this upheaval, okay? I think that some of it is forcing us to change. Some of it we've got to build differently. We can't continue to have power lines falling like that. You know, in Orisha tradition, we believe that the deities prefer to talk to you to get you to behave, but if you need a spanking, you can get that too. And sometimes this feels like a spanking that I hope will wake us up and we will learn to conduct ourselves very, very differently. One of the ironies of it is that most often people who don't like each other band together during a natural disaster. And so we have to get to the place where we band together without the disaster, with the same intensity and commitment that we do when there is a disaster. But we've been told, you know, 15 years ago, Oshun told, no, more than that now, 25 years ago, Oshun told us, save the seeds, protect the bees, stop polluting the waterways, you know. My concern is that enough people hear her when she says, don't let it happen again. Don't let it happen again. And so we really, really have to take a look at what we are doing that's causing this madness. And then we have to, you know, every indigenous culture in the world has ways of placating the natural force. And, you know, and there are studies that show that nature is both receptive and responsive. So we're the ones who have to change. We really do. And I pray that the message goes out clear enough and manifests in different behavior. If we just chose one thing, like, if we quit polluting the river, if we pull the plastic out of the ocean, if we stop sending fumes into the air and just stop for a minute and say, nature's trying to show us that we need to live differently. I think that human creativity and the need to survive would show us some innovations so that we could live more compatibly with nature and she could stop raging.
Mm.
Yeah, I really
feel
that.
What I find so inspiring is that we got old people with young skin coming in right now. And, I got a 12-year-old that calls me grandma that lives up in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And she just sent me a video of herself when she was up at Washington, D.C. with a megaphone in front of her talking about, can you hear us? We are the future. We are your future. And look what you're handing us. Can you hear us?
Can you hear us?
And there's so many amazing kids, teenagers, young adults that are coming in with a clarity and a direction and a relationship with the earth than I've ever seen before. Can you speak to that well of hope that's coming forward?
Yeah, well, that's the innocence. You see what I'm saying? That's the innocence that's saying what we've been doing, no matter how invested you are in it, no matter how much money you're making from it, or how smart you think it is, we need a fresh mind. We need an open heart, okay? You know, these young people know that this is their home planet. I know that there's a whole lot of energy going into people developing stuff to escape this planet because they don't plan to stop messing it up. But the young people have put their minds on.
Uh-oh. Marjean?
Okay. People can hear me now without me echoing myself.
What I'm saying,
that, you know, one of the problems and one of the inspirations is we have people in power who have not considered the future in the right way. You know, they're trying to figure out how to exploit as much of this as we can before we leave here, go colonize some other planet, okay? But the young people who are inheriting this mess that we have created, they have the innocence enough to not be invested in the monetary and the power-hungry aspect of it. They have the pure innocence of survival, you know, of just being real creatures. And so their minds are on, how do we save this? They're the ones who are figuring out what to do with the plastic. They're the ones who are coming up with the innovations in growing, in education, in art, in everything. And so, in an ideal situation, what I would like to see is the wisdom of those elders who have seen and know and experience, you know, what the challenges are and who have triumphed over that. I would like to see their energy blended with the enthusiasm, the creativity, and the innovation of the young people. You know, if we can get those two groups together working on various things, I think that we can come out of this mindset that, oh, well, it's gone too far. We've ruined it, so we just need to finish ruining it and prepare to leave. I personally don't want to hear that. That's not where I'm coming from. So I'm always grateful when I hear young people who are rethinking it, okay, to say, no, we're not going to go colonize Mars. We're going to save our mother. We're going to save our mother. So, my, you know, what I'm prompting for is a blending of the wisdom of the elders with the energy and innovation of the young. That you know, the March for Our Lives, for example, gave me a lot of hope because they said it straight out. This is a march for our lives. We're not playing. We know what's at stake here. And so we are marching for our lives.
There's a, I just read this amazing article the other day about talking about all of this. And inside of it, it said, we offer our ideas in the spirit of the Australian Aborigine activist and academic Lila Watson's well-known qualifications for collaboration, which you've been talking about all night. And her quote is, if you have come here to help me, you're wasting your time. But if you have come because your liberation is bound up with mine, then let us work together.
Let us work together.
So we have time
that's
for
seeing
one
each
more.
Other as humans.
That quote
encourages us to see each other as humans. We're all I thou. There's no I it there. There's no top down superiority thing. We know that we are a bouquet of flowers on a background of the green earth. Yeah. If you're here to work on saving our planet, we can talk. Any other attitude is a waste of time.
And what's also interesting, which really got my attention many years ago, was most indigenous languages around this planet do not have the word I in it.
I know.
And I think you can imagine, you know, language, I think, cultivates our thinking so much. And when you don't have a language that has the word I in it, already you're in a different stream of consciousness.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about this the other day, you know, the notion that I own the earth is sheer foolishness. You know, that I have been assigned to take care of it at this period of time, that I am privileged to benefit from it at this period of time. That makes more sense. But how are you, somebody who's going to live to be 120, how are you going to own something that's been alive for millions of years? You know, that's what I mean, that we've got to change. We've got to change the way we think about things. And to some extent, having been so conditioned, I think one of the things we have to do is surrender to the innocence of the child mind and say to the deities, give us the new idea. I am open. Give me the new idea. Show me what I, you know, that I, we talk about having an aha experience. Aha, that's what I should do. We need more of those.
Absolutely. And when we catch them, take the action to do them.
That's right. You got to manifest it. Well, you know, there's some good things happening. That I do see among adults, you know, there's people especially whose parents were a part of owning slave plantations or exploiting Native American land or, you know, doing crazy stuff like that. These people are asking for forgiveness. They are asking how they can help to repair the damage that they've created. There's been, you know, this thing with what's her name? Bezo, the man's wife, who's now, you know, going to give away half of her fortune. There's the black millionaire, the black billionaire who just paid all of the student loans of a whole class of students at one of the colleges. So it's beginning to dawn on some people that asking for forgiveness and making reparations is their healing. See, it's not a trickle-down, I'm superior to you, I'm doing you a favor. They are beginning to understand that they have inherited a warped perspective, a wounding, an energy that is not comfortable to live with, and now they're asking for their healing. That's encouraging.
Absolutely.
That's encouraging, you know.
So we maybe have time for one more question before we're going to have to close tonight. And I'm really nervous about that because every time we open the line, we get kind of stuff happy.
We have Ariana. Ariana, your mic is open.
All right. Ooh.
Good luck, Ariana.
Minus the breathing.
Can you shut that? Can you help me again? You're the magic one tonight.
Ariana, your mic is open. Can you hear us?
Yes.
I'm having an echo.
Okay, I got to close my mic now. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
There you go.
Okay, this is Ariana. Hopefully I can be heard.
You can
have a question. Yes?
Yes, you can. Go for it.
Tishi, I've been listening to you for 30 years. you taught my girl in D.C. at the IONS conference when she was in college.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, Hannah and Forrest and... you know, the last time I was sitting in ceremony with you, we were under the oak trees up at the land of IONS. And
oh, yeah. Beautiful, huh?
Yeah, you did a ceremony for us. It was so beautiful. And so I just want to say thank you. You know, I've gotten to be in a lot of different situations where I've gotten to experience your wisdom and your and the ceremonial gifts that you give us. And I just want to just give my great gratitude for your life, for your gifts, for your perseverance, for your strength. You know, I wish you good health and all your needs met so that you can keep it going because we need your elder voice in our midst. And thank you.
Thank you for that prayer and that blessing. I am receiving all prayers and blessings, y'all. I ain't rejecting none of them because, you know, truth be told, I am grateful. I talk about, I look at myself and I say, I am so grateful that I get to do ritual and art and you know, creating beauty. That's how I earn my living. Whoa, what a blessing. You know, I know people who go to jobs that they hate every day, you know, and I recognize that I'm very fortunate. I get to feel good with what I do. I am very fortunate.
And you make a lot of other people and the earth herself feels fortunate when you are here. So I want to give you thanks because you know, all of our speakers, those that come to present and hold this forum with us in this way, the staff, everybody is offering this up as a gift. So you being here, you catching that blessing and sending that blessing back, that truly is when a full field of reciprocity lands. And the more we can land that field of reciprocity, the quicker we will return to our original principles, and life can get and walk in balance again. So I want to thank you for offering. I'm going to ask if you will end this call with us in just a moment by offering us a song, a chant, or whatever will take us flowing like clear water away from this and all the many directions back into our homes and our families and our communities. I'm going to say to you all there that I'm going to miss being with you next month on this call. I'm going to be on my pony riding hard. I will be in the UK where running ceremony and walking a spiritual pilgrimage path with many wisdom keepers down into Avalon and into the Glastonbury Music Festival and then off to Peru and into Colombia before I come back to you again. So Darlene's going to be taking care of this next call, and you'll be receiving information about it. It will be at the same hour at 5 p.m. Pacific time on the 26th of June. So with all of that said, blessings to you. What a beautiful way for us to sprout ourselves into springtime, into creativity, into rebirth and birth. So thank you again, my sister, for being there, being who you are, and we're going to have some fun in London in September.
Oh, yes, baby. I'm preparing for that. I am preparing for that. So the song I want to offer as we are going out says to Oshun, she who lives in the water, Mother, bring me your blessing on each ripple and wave. Iyamile, Odo. Iyamile, Odo. Bobo ashe, Iyamisarama woye. Iyamile, Odo. Iyamile, Odo. Bobo ashe, Iyamisarama woye. Iyamile, Odo. Iyamile, Odo. Good night, good people.
Oh, thank you so much. And Marzine, open up all that echo and let us all say.